Good morning. Do I look familiar? Some of you are here going, who's that guy? Another speaker, right? Hi, my name's Frank. I'm actually the senior pastor here. I've been gone for 5 weeks on a sabbatical, but I'm back, and Jesus is awesome. He's so awesome. I want you guys to stand with me because we're going to have a fun time today in his presence. And you know he's here. Did you know that? Did you know the Lord has never left you? He's actually never forsaken you. He is an amazing shepherd that is the guardian of your soul. So we're going to be swimming in a beautiful text of Scripture today. It's a teaching that if you get, your life will be changed. It's in Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 32. It says this: the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. And then because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. Does that sound familiar? He said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a place by themselves. If you meditate on this text and let it sink in, it'll change your life. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for the gift that you gave us upon the cross, in which we, by your sacrifice, have been made righteous and holy before a holy God. You've enabled us to enter into the throne room of grace and mercy. You've washed away all of our unrighteousness and made us righteous because of your righteousness. And Lord, now as your children, we have the privilege to be called children of the living God. And with all this being true, we come before you today, Father, to worship you this morning in spirit with our hearts and in truth. We come to worship you with our thoughts. So thank you, God, for your presence here. We pray that you would help the individual behind the pulpit today speak clearly and without error. And this would be done for the glory of Jesus and his kingdom. And all those who love Jesus would say what? Amen. Amen. And y'all may be seated. And so here's the deal. In January of this year, our leadership team, I don't know if you've heard the rumor, but it's been a really tough 30 months. Do I hear an amen? I mean, from shortages of toilet paper. I mean, do you remember these days? And so the point is as our leadership team said, hey, man, we want our pastors. We're not here to burn people out. Isn't that nice? Our leadership team's like, we're not here to burn out the pastors. And sometime, Pastor Frank, make sure that your staff gets a chance to get away and to be with Jesus. Because they've been doing a good work. And they looked at me and said, and so are you. And so I picked January because that's kind of the downtime. And so, it's, you know, maybe some of you went on vacation. You might be watching today, and I know you're on vacation. But I took 5 weeks to go get away and be with Jesus. Can I thank our brother Mike? My brother Mike did a killer job while I was gone. Am I right? Mike and I have been friends a long time. Him and I sat in seminary together, and while I was trying to get B's in my classes, he was the guy that aced all the classes. He's just a wonderful brother in the Lord. I want to thank him and Pastor Graham that spoke, and I'm so grateful for Pastor Vince and Pastor David. I'm so grateful for Millette and Fina and all of the people. I came to church on Tuesday, and the place was not burnt down, and I thank the Lord for that. There was 2 cop cars out in front of the church when I pulled up, so that was kind of fun. I'm like, what? We had a homeless guy here. We have a daycare. We can't have that. So, I mean, but it wasn't bad. I want to think it didn't break. We didn't bust anything. And here's the beautiful truth of this church. This church is not built on any human personality. It's built on the personality of Jesus. Do I hear an amen? this isn't my kingdom. I'm just a servant. This church belongs to Jesus of Nazareth. And as a matter of fact, you people are his people. My job is to shepherd you. That's what he says. But even every now and then, sometimes the shepherd needs to take a break. So Pastor Frank, what did you do on your sabbatical? My highlight of my sabbatical was I went up to Northern California to be with my brother. My brother that's 3 years older than me accepted Jesus after 30 years in last year, which is so cool because I'd given up on, I hate to say this, but after praying for him for 30 years, I just said, he'll never accept Jesus. And he did. And he's kept saying, Frankie, I want you to come up and meet my pastor and go to church with me. And I'm like, you know, I'm kind of busy on Sundays. On the sabbatical, my big prayer, I'm Kenny, I'm coming up, man. I just want to, you know, hang out with you and pour into your life. And it was so cool. On a Sunday morning, it dawned on me. I had an out-of-body experience. I was sitting next to my brother, and we were at his church. A great message was being given by his pastor. And it dawned on me, this is the first time that him and I had sat in a worship service together since 1974. The year before my mom died of cancer. And there we were. The miracle of spiritual rebirth is awesome. My brother's telling me he loves me. I'm like, what? As I was leaving, he held out his arms and he goes, give me a hug. And I'm like, this is not happening. Jesus has changed my brother. It's a 180. This is called the miracle of spiritual rebirth. It's an awesome thing. When Jesus gets a hold of an individual and transforms an individual, it's the biggest miracle. Think about this. A rabbi from Nazareth 2,000 years ago completely transformed me, and my brother's been changed. It's the miracle of spiritual rebirth. It's the most beautiful thing. It was awesome. So I had a chance to go up and hang out with my brother. It was the best part of my sabbatical, besides just catching waves down at the beach and walking with Jesus and having fun and riding jet skis and hopping around on, I was driving around 20-foot jet boats at Lake Havasu. We had a blast. It was awesome, but it's good to be back. And here's the deal. I feel refreshed and renewed. Spent a lot of time with Jesus walking on beaches. It was good. It's nice to be home. The theme first for my sabbatical was Mark 6, 30-32. That was my theme verse. Can I just read it again? I want you to really, can you let this verse sink in? Mark 6, 30-32, let this sink in. Says the apostles gathered around Jesus. Can you picture this in your mind? And they reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going, they didn't have a chance to eat. And he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place. And let's get some rest. So they went away by themselves. That's an amazing text. When you read it in the context of the Gospel of Mark, Mark's Gospel is awesome. It's the shortest Gospel of the four. And when you read, if you want to be introduced to the ministry of Jesus, if you want to meet the person of Jesus, Gospel of Mark's the perfect book to start. In the first chapter, John or Mark records that Jesus fulfilling prophecy of Isaiah 9. Did you know it says in Isaiah 9 that the Messiah's ministry will begin on the Sea of Galilee? Those that walk in darkness, a great light will dawn. It was the prophecy 700 years before Jesus had been born. Jesus begins his ministry on the Sea of Galilee. It was incredible. You read Jesus going into the synagogue in Capernaum and healing people and doing incredible things. It's a great launch. And then after church, he goes over to Peter's house and heals his mother-in-law. And once Sabbath ended, the whole town of Capernaum gathered around Jesus. And it says he healed every disease, every ailment in a village. And by nightfall, I mean, people were around him. That's not a bad beginning, wouldn't you say? And yet it just begins. Jesus begins going around the villages, teaching and healing. And he ends up calling his apostles. And he speaks to the wind and rain, and it quits. He heals a really messed up individual on the other side that had a legion of demons in him. He comes over, and the synagogue's official's daughter dies, and Jesus raised a little girl from the dead. That's pretty awesome. This is all the beginnings. By the third chapter, Jesus begins calling the apostles to himself, and by the sixth chapter, he sends them out. He sends them out. He gives them authority to teach and to preach and to heal. He says, go two by two, read Mark chapter 6. And he sends them out on their first short-term missions trip. And they come back, and they are filled with stories. And not only are they, people are all around them because they're now doing a bit of what Jesus is doing. And Jesus looks at him, and he's probably smiling. Can you picture what that must have looked like in their mind? But Jesus is noticing his disciples are so busy with life, they're beginning to neglect themselves. Jesus doesn't look at his apostles and say, you guys are burning yourself out. Well done. Read the text. The first thing he tells them, you guys need to take a pause. You need to take a break. If you're going to take notes of me this morning, I want you to stir in this first note. Here's a truth from this text. You ready? It's not okay with Jesus for his disciples to be out of balance in life. It's not good with him. They were out of balance. And it's not good with them. They were out of balance, and it wasn't good with them. When I was going to seminary, one of my favorite professors was a guy named Dr. Michael Wilkins. And he had one of these on his desk. And Wilk was the dean of the New Testament department at Talbot Seminary. And we, by the grace of God, we became friends, and we'd serve together and hang out together. He did my premarital with Cinda and myself. And he would always have this. And as I was going through seminary, he kept smacking this on his desk. He says, Frank, you know the path that you're going, it sounds like God's calling you into ministry. He says, the road that Jesus has for you is not an easy one. That, I don't know, Frankie, look at your life now. What's your life filled like now? Oh, man, I've got studying and ministry and my wife and friends and I'm surfing still. And he says, you know, Frank, as you enter into life, you're going to find that it's really hard to stay in balance in life. And you're going to need to have to learn the art of balance. Is he right? To balance your marriage, your kids, to take good care of yourself physically, to be a good son and a good brother, to be a good pastor, now to be a chaplain, you know. Jesus, it's not okay with Jesus for his followers to be out of balance in life. Here's the question. Are you out of balance? Are you out of balance? Here's some symptoms. How's your eating habits? Do you have ulcers, high blood pressure? He's having a problem sleeping at night, sleeping rhythms. You have a problem focusing, listening to others. You feel overwhelmed, stressed out, you run out on empty. Anybody have hives? Hives? 2015, Pastor Frank broke out in hives. But this wonderful doctor in our church. At one Sunday, I come back from Israel, and I'm telling them, you guys pray for me. I just came back. I'm like, I have hives all over my body. My face actually blew. It's called angioedema. And this Dr. Carr comes and goes, Pastor Frank, I treat people like you, and I'm going to treat you for free. And I said, amen, right? So I'm going over, and Doc's having me seeing what I'm allergic to and this and that and the other, and I'm sitting in a meeting with him, and he says, are you stressed? I remember, I asked, well, are you? I think that was a dumb question, but it's not. Are you stressed? Are you? The hives on your body is being caused, it's a symptom, Frank, that you're out of balance and you're stressed out. And you need to remove your stress. Well, how do you do that? Is it even possible? Wilkes over there speaking into my head in seminary. Frank! So the board told me in 2015, Pastor Frank, you will be taking a sabbatical. I used to tell them no, but after that they said, no, we don't care, you will. I'm under authority of them. So I took a three-month sabbatical to try to pull myself together. Are you out of balance? See, now when they tell me, Pastor Frank, take a one-month sabbatical, I said, amen. I'll do it. I'm learning. See, I'm still learning. She used to think if I was gone for a month, this place would go up in smoke, and then I figured it out. It's not me. Frankie, you're not that important. It's about Jesus. Amen. See, it's not cool for Jesus' disciples to be out of balance. It's just not good for him. He's not good with it. Learn that. Learn that. Are you out of balance? Here's some symptoms. Time to take stock of your life. When you read this text, look at Jesus' solution for being out of balance. Meditate on this text this week. Let it stir this verse into your life, man. It was my theme verse for my sabbatical. I'm walking on the beach thinking about this, man. What's Jesus' solution? His first one is pause. 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 Stop. Stop what you're doing, please. Jesus, we just came back from doing this amazing ministry, and he's like, you, our guys, are so busy with the comings and goings, you're not even eating. Pause. Stop. Take notes with me. What is Jesus' solution for an out-of-balance life? We need to take a pause. Pause. You ever watched a movie and you had to pause it because the phone rang? Pause. See, here's the deal. Sometimes we need to take a pause on life. Jesus had them pause in what they were doing. He had them stop. Stop it. Walk away. Have you all noticed how distracted you all are? Have you noticed how addicted we are to screens? Screens? I was eating dinner the other day at a restaurant. I looked over and there's this family of four. Mom, dad, two kids. All of them on their phone. All of them. See, cell phones might have connected us to the world, but it's disconnected us to the people that's right next to us. Have you noticed that? You know what you need to do with a cell phone? You need to pause it. Better turn it off. dude, you go down the park, and there's this dad with his kid, and they're at the park, and you could just see this kid just seeing daddy play with me. And guess what dad was doing? It's on his stinking phone. It kept everything in me to stop it. Life is what's happening once you turn off your phone. Do you see your kid? He just wants to play with his dad. Have you noticed how addicted we are to screens? And you know what that screen is bringing in? The world. The world. If you can't turn off your screen, you're probably out of balance. If you have to have sound on all the time in your house, the television on all the time in their house, it's a symptom. You might be out of balance because there's something about pausing and going away to a quiet place. Here's a cool, I found this. This is cell phone. Do you know why they call them cell phones? Does anyone know why they're called cell phones? I got a picture, maybe. It's possibly coming. Check this out. What, do you know why they call them cell phones? Because you're stuck in a prison. They're called cell phones because they hold you in prison. Am I right? I had a cool picture, but it's okay. You get the picture, don't you? Am I right? That cell phone, it's called a cell phone. C-E-L-L. How do you pause? Be still and know that I'm God. Be still. Do you know this is one of the most difficult verses probably to obey in the Bible? It's in Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I'm God. Do you know how difficult it is to stop? Stop. There it is, huh? I finally realized it. People who are prisoners of their phones. That's why they're called cell phones. If you can't turn your phone off, friend, you might be out of balance. Jesus is not cool with his disciples being out of balance. He wants them to walk in balance. Jesus isn't here for your life to burn up and crash and burn. He wants you to walk in harmony with God, with yourself. You know, Jesus was always busy. He was never in a hurry. He figured it out. He's the Son of God. Jesus' solution to a person out of balance is the first thing you got to do is pause. You got to stop. You got to stop. Note number two, are you ready for it? Or three. Not only do you need to stop, but you need to find a quiet place. You need to quiet down. Turn off the noise of the world and find a place to hear the still small voice of God. So, Pastor Frank, when I first got saved, I was a student. I moved to Dana Point, and I began going to Saddleback College, and I learned how to surf, which is a wonderful sport, to wake up early in the morning. We call them dawn patrol, and the sun's just coming up over the ocean, and there's dolphins swimming underneath your board, and you draw, and the water's just glassy. It's alone. It's beautiful. Man, I took up the habit of jogging on the beach at night and watching sunsets. What I did during my sabbatical is I spent a lot of time at the beach, catching some waves. I took a picture. I took that with my phone. Well, actually, that's my wife's phone. Cindy's phone's better than mine. She's better than me. She's awesome. We would stare. We have hundreds of pictures. Maybe 60. We just kept taking pictures, watching sunsets on the beach, the sound of the ocean hitting the shore, and just, it's peaceful. I did a lot of this during my sabbatical. You need to pause. If you're out of balance, Jesus' solution, and he's probably smarter than you because he rose from the dead, and anybody can raise from the dead, is probably smarter than you, and you should probably listen to him. Do I hear an amen? The solution that Jesus has for people that are out of balance is you need to stop what you're doing. I need you to go away. Find a quiet place. And note number four is rest. Rest. Are you good at rest? Does anyone know what the Hebrew word for rest is? Shabbat. Shabbat shalom. Rest in peace. Shabbat. Sabbath. We get the word Sabbath or sabbatical. All bleeds in. Rest. Rest. Did you know that your Bible's filled with this principle of rest? As a matter of fact, it's one of the top 10. Moses, right? The Sabbath. See, God's principle for you to rest, it's actually so important to him, it actually gets into the top 10, the 10 commandments. To not work is laziness. To not rest is disobedience. Rest. See, rest is a physical thing. The disciples were completely out of balance, and Jesus looked at him. He says, this isn't good. You guys need to take a pause. I need to come with me to a quiet place. Get in the boat. Man, when you get in a boat and it's just rocking, and it is a quiet place. The goal here is to rest, physical rest. Physical rest. Did you know that your body needs to physically rest? So important. Have you figured this out? If you don't, your body will speak to you. You might even get hives, ulcers, high blood pressure, fears, anxieties, worries. You just can't sleep. Your body's telling you you're out of balance. Your body needs to rest. Here's the scripture again. We're swimming in this text. Mark chapter 6, 30 and 31, right? The apostles gathered around Jesus, reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going, they didn't even have a chance to eat. And Jesus says, this is not good, right? He says, you need to come with me. There's the pause. He said to them, here it is. Come with me. Okay, say it. Say this with me together. Ready? One, two, three. Come with me. See, I can find a quiet place and I can take a nap, but I need to come with Jesus. You pause, you go with Jesus to a quiet place and rest. Without Jesus, there is no spiritual rest. With Jesus, this is what makes everything different. It wasn't Jesus saying, why don't you guys go on a boat by yourselves and take a little nap? He didn't say that. He said, I need you guys to get in the boat with me. Then let's go away to a quiet place and get some rest. To go away with Jesus. The need to follow Jesus. Here's another note. Take this note with me. Here it comes. Ready? What's Jesus' solution for an out-of-balance life? We need to follow him into rest. See, without him, it's just physical rest. But with Jesus, all of a sudden, he begins bringing rest to your mind and spirit and soul. And here lies the mystery, brothers and my sisters. See, Jesus, 2,000 years ago, that was easy to get in the boat with Jesus because he was there. Is he here? Is he here? Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always. Is Jesus here? Physically? No. His Spirit is here. He is here. This is the great difference. Peter, James, and John could get in a boat with Jesus. I'd love to go get in a boat with Jesus. How, Pastor Frank, okay, I get the why, you know, it's important. I get the balance and the why. What's the how? How do I do this? It's the 21st century. It's 2,000 years later. How do I get in a boat with Jesus? How do I can pause, I can find a quiet place, I can rest, but how do I do this with Jesus? And this lies the mystery. This is the spiritual journey. So Pastor Frank taught at Biola University a few years. I taught a class on biblical interpretation and spiritual formation. How's that? I taught students how to interpret the Bible and how to stir in the Bible. And a part of spiritual formation, spiritual disciplines, learning how to connect with God. See, I'm an absolute... Do you want to know what I did for my sabbatical? I grabbed a syllabus that I had taken a class on the harmony of the Gospels. And for the whole month, you should see my office for my sabbatical. I had all these commentaries out and all these books out. And I was studying the Scriptures. And this is my deal. I took, in the four Gospels, I took Jesus' feeding of the 5,000 and I went through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I said, what is everything that Jesus did from that back? And I began writing it down and journaling it. I spent massive amounts of time in my Ryrie Study Bible. Do you guys have a Ryrie Study Bible? This is an amazing study Bible. This Bible, when you read the Bible and you're like, I don't know what that means, and all of a sudden you look down yonder, it's got all these notes. It explains it to you. And if you play with this thing long enough, it says go to Isaiah, go to Ezekiel, you'll be spending hours just rabbit trailing from verse to verse. This thing's like a walking seminary. It's a great Bible. Do you have a good study Bible? You need one. But I have this as one of many commentaries. I've got 12 volumes set. This is Matthew, Mark, and Luke's commentaries. And I'm, for the fun of it, cracking this open and asking questions and having a good time. This Pink is a great theologian. This alone is the Gospel of John. That's bigger than your Bible, isn't it? I swim in this stuff. Am I a geek? This is what I did. See, here's the deal. My pathway of connecting with God is cognitive. It's rational. It's my connection. I love this. As I was walking on the beach with Jesus, I was swimming in my mind of spending time with him in the Scriptures. It's called spiritual formation, or it's spiritual disciplines. See, I've learned this over the years. I thought everybody connects with God the same way I do. Guess what? Have you ever heard the five love languages? Someone ever studied this? Did you know that different people receive love differently and give love differently? Different people have different love languages, right? There's physical touch, quality time, acts of kindness, service. You ask somebody, when do you feel most loved? They'll say, when somebody verbally tells me they loves me, or when somebody does something for me. And different people have different love languages. Did you know that different people connect with God in different ways? There's different pathways in which people connect with God. I know this. I know you probably don't have massive commentaries at your house, or maybe you do, but Pastor Frank, how did you go with Jesus for the last month? I walked with Jesus. I was in his Scriptures and studying and on rabbit trails and having a great time. It's my pathway. What's yours? What spiritual disciplines do you do that connects you with God? Some people say that they connect God most when they're singing and worship in community. If you ask people, when do you feel most connected with God? They'll say, when I'm worshiping and singing in the presence of God. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. It's probably was David, King David's primary pathway. I mean, how many times in David's Psalms does he say, sing, right? Psalm 5:11, one of 70 times he gives this theory. He says, but let us all who take refuge in you be glad. Do I hear an amen? Let them ever sing with joy. Spread your protection over them as they worship you, right? That those who love your name may rejoice in you. There's many people who'll say, Pastor Frank, my pathway is worship. When I was walking on the beach, I'm singing praises to God. Some people say, Pastor Frank, I'm contemplative in my pathway. That when I most connect with God is when I'm in silence and solitude, when I'm alone and away, and I'm journaling letters, and I'm thinking and meditating on Scripture. When I need to be alone, I want to be away from people. I'm closest to God when I'm doing this. It's funny. Mother Teresa was asked once by a reporter, Mother Teresa, when you pray, what do you say to God? And she says, I don't say anything, I just listen. The reporter looked at her with confusion. He said, well, when you pray, what does God say to you? She says, he doesn't say anything, he just listens. See, I understand exactly what she's saying. Dallas Willard, who wrote a book called The Spiritual Disciplines, is a great book if you want to study this more. He said, in quietness, there's a presence. When I'm alone before God, in stillness, there's a presence. For many people, they connect mostly with God when they're alone. That's their pathway. Is that yours? There are other people that say, I connect most with God when I'm in community. I want to be around people. I feel most connected with God when I'm with a bunch of people. If you were to tell this group to go on to be in silence and solitude, is like putting them in purgatory. They would hate it, see. They're like, when I'm in growth groups every week, I'm in small, we're going to be starting up our small group ministry, our growth group ministry at the end of the month, and you need to be in community. There's so many times in the Bible it says together, together, together. We're supposed to be together, right? Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above all else. All these one another's in the Bible. There are people say, I feel most connected in Jesus when I'm around other people. You know, they were in the boat. The apostles were in the boat. Jesus is in the boat. It was a community in the boat. See, I realize there are different people connect with God in different ways. I get it. I'm a geek. I get it. But all of you ought to be geek a little bit. Because in every pathway, it stems from your time with God and His Word. Even meditating in silence and solitude has to come from the Scriptures. Worship has to be worshiping in truth and scriptural truth, right? When you get together in community, it's not about the Dodgers. God bless them. They're in good first place. But a baseball game and spending time with Jesus is a totally different thing. Do I hear an amen? Do you understand? There's something about discipleship happens in meaningful relationships. You need to be in meaningful relationships within the body of Christ. And in that, iron sharpens iron. Some people say, I feel most connected with God. I have to be in community with the Word of God. There are some people who say, you know what? I feel connected with God most when I'm serving Him. When I'm serving Him. Right? The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many, right? Jesus gets up the night before He died and He washes His disciples' feet in John chapter 13. And He says, you call Me Lord, and you're right, because I am the Lord. I walk on water and I raise the dead. I'm the Son of God. And if I, the Lord, wash your feet, you need to wash one another's feet. If you learn this and do it, you'll be blessed. And there is a blessing when you serve other people. Do I hear an amen? You should be serving. in the name of Jesus. During my sabbatical, a group of us went and we were part of Feeding the Homeless, Orange County Rescue Mission. It was awesome. Sunday night, group of people, it's a great ministry there. And we're just feeding these people. They'd be homeless if it wasn't for OC Rescue Mission. It's a good thing to serve the Lord. Thank you for everyone here that serves Jesus. Children's ministry, youth ministry, worship team, people that keep us safe with security, tech team. I mean, worship, you know, the small group leaders. I mean, there's so many people that are serving. And they would say, I connect. Amen, I get it. That's me too. I connect with God in all these to some degree, right? One more pathway that I know of many, I call it the nature pathway. It goes along with contemplation. It goes along with, sometimes when you talk to people, they'll say, you know, man, I most connect with God when I'm in nature. I'm in His creation. Has anyone ever been to Yosemite? Anyone? John Muir, anyone know who John Muir is? 70s, something like that. John Muir was raised. Did you know he had memorized the whole New Testament, John Muir? Did y'all know that? Christian man. He was the one that started national parks. He called this a cathedral to God. Is he right? How can you not go there and be in awe of the one who made it? Many people would say, my pathway, my primary pathway is nature. Man, I got to get out of my house and go down to the beach or go to Yosemite or go up and see the stars in the sky and realize I am really small and God is really... Right? See, when you do that, it helps you get centered. You right? Pastor Frank, why did you go away in July for 1 month sabbatical? What did you do that for? Well, Jesus isn't here to burn out his servants 2,000 years ago. Our leadership team said, Pastor Frank, you're going to take one off. Which month do you want? Because it's good to be in balance. It's good to center yourself. It's good to just spend some time alone with Jesus. Are you good at doing this? Did you know that you need to do this? It's essential that you do this. Without Him, you will be out of balance. So I spent some time, got away, man. I had fun, and that's what we're going to be doing a little bit. We're going to have Sunday fun day. Let's go have some fun, man. I had a great time riding jet skis and catching waves. I had a killer time just opening up and studying the ministry of Jesus and stirring in the Scriptures and meditating on Scriptures. I spent time in this cognitive pathway. I spent time worshiping in the worship pathway. I spent time in silence and solitude pathway. I spent time serving. I spent time in relationships. I spent time walking on the beach and just enjoying the goodness of the Lord. And in the midst of it all, guess what happened to me? You know what my last call out was as a police chaplain right before I went on sabbatical? A man woke up and his wife died next to him after they'd been married for 50 years. Hey, chaplain, we need you. Okay? Raced over to a house in Irvine, and this man's in complete and total shock. His wife of 50 years died in her sleep. And he was a mess. And what a privilege it is to go into that house and represent Jesus. And to comfort that man. And pray for him and his son. It's a good thing. But it wears on you. It does. This last 30 months wears on people. Did you see that bumper? What a mess. COVID. Racial unrest in America. politics, war in Ukraine, economy, and on and on and on. Are we going to have a war in Taiwan next? Can you imagine what that would do to the world? Do you know that you need to spend time with Jesus? You need to. I need to. And God designed a thing called Sabbath worship. What are you doing this morning? I pray you're connecting with Jesus and you're hearing His voice. There are some times when Jesus says, come away for, let's go on a boat. Jesus didn't say do this on Saturday. That was on Thursday or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you just need to take a break. Hey, here, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is not okay with you being out of balance. Why? Because it's not good for you. And He loves you. Are you in balance? You need to go look in the mirror. You need to have a walk on the beach, and maybe you need to ask Jesus, are you in balance? Pastor Frank, can I ask you, as a shepherd, would you please spend some time alone with Jesus? On the notes that are in your worship folder, it talks about these different pathways. I would love for you to practice all of them. Go do all of them. And maybe number them 1 through 10 or 1 through whatever. This one's in my number 1, number 2, number 3. This one was... It's important that you spend time with... Okay, I get the why. Well, how do I do it? This is how. Go read the Bible. Go have a quiet time. Go study. Why don't you go meditate on Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 32. And read it in different translations. Look at the words and meditate on the words and picture it in your mind and soak it in, stir it in, and then practice it. You'll be a better person if you do. You'll be in better balance. And that's God's will for your life. This is what I did. I would love it if you'd do it too. Maybe you can't do a month, but maybe you could spend 5 hours. Maybe you could turn it off just for 5 hours or a day. Go walk on a beach. Do you know where you live? Southern California. People come here for their vacations. And you live here. But you're watching television. And you're on your stinking phone all the time. Life is happening outside of the screen. Life is happening outside of the screen. Turn the screen off. It's just pumping the world into you. See, if you spend time alone with Jesus, He'll tell you who you are. He'll give you perspective on life of who you are. You spend time with Jesus, He'll give you perspective of what's going on in the world. You spend time with Jesus, He'll give you perspective of why you're here and what it's all about. Come with me, Jesus says to you. Come with me to a quiet place that you might rest. Why? Because you need it, physically and spiritually. Hear the voice of Jesus. Do I hear an amen? Father, I pray for my brothers and I pray for my sisters this morning. Would they please hear the voice of Jesus this morning? Not mine. Help them to hear the voice of Jesus this morning. Jesus, would you speak into every one of your sheep today? Speak deep into their heart. You said that my sheep will know me and follow my voice. Speak into yours. Jesus, help us to find balance in a world that's out of balance. Help us all to be still and know that you are God. As King David said, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely mercy and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life as I'm still and know. Help us, Jesus, we pray. In your most holy name, amen.